CliffCentral.com.
Ah, yes. Tell me that isn't a sexy song, huh?
How does he sing, Sia?
He sings at the back of his throat. He's got a totally different voice to anyone else in the world, Michael McDonald.
How does it go?
He sings like, yeah, someone is like pushing the back of his tongue. It's a...
Right,
it works,
exactly.
Though, right?
Yeah. Then I could have a smash hit. Why am I still here, not at the Grammys?
No, this guy is so talented. I mean, come on. You remember he was in the Doobie Brothers. This was... You remember this song?
Oh, yeah.
And again, that voice.
I don't know this song.
You don't know this?
Uh-uh.
Okay. I'm going to give you a little music history lesson. What the hell? It's Monday morning. We got nothing else to do. All right, here it is. Yeah.
He came from somewhere back in her long ago.
You don't know this? Oh, my God.
But I just got a new vision. If Mrs. Doubtfire released an album, it would sound like him.
Oh, stop it. How dare you.
So, very dare you.
Michael McDonald, he was absolutely amazing. Did you ever hear the duet he did with Patti LaBelle?
That sounded like you were rapping. Say that again. The duet he did with Patti LaBelle.
Here, listen to this. This is him with Patti LaBelle. I'm sure you know this song. There's Patti. Hey, now he comes in. Such a great song. Oh my God, Michael McDonald's brilliant.
What's the song called?
On My Own. Listen.
Guys.
Come on. You don't know this?
No, but I'm starting to think I can be a singer.
These cheesy 80s music
videos.
Oh yes,
videos. I do know the song.
Yes,
I do know
exactly.
This.
But wait till you hear my...
Something in my heart always knew.
So good.
I'd be lying here beside you. On my own.
And it's so dramatic, like the way they used to dress.
On my own.
And they really are on their own with like a split screen, and he's looking at the beach.
On my own.
She's looking at the cityscape. It's,
it's not like music videos nowadays.
Man. No, listen.
So many promises never should be spoken.
Listen, here it comes.
Now I know what loving you cost.
That's right.
Now we're up to talking divorce, and we weren't even married.
Beautiful.
Come on, Leanne, you and I need to recreate the song.
We can.
It's either this.
On my own.
Wait. No, I'm sounding like Shakira.
Please.
On my own.
Oh, Jesus. Somehow you've just
you
made it.
You also need to sound like you have your dentures loose.
Oh, stop it. Don't you bring
that.
Don't
again.
Bring Nancy Pelosi into this. How dare you. All right. So many things to get to this morning. So, Ass, where do you want to start? What's the most exciting
Let's
thing you can
start
tell us?
At the very beginning.
Go on.
The Sydney rains doused two of the big fires, which is fantastic. However, there are still some fires that are burning.
Pardon my ignorance. I didn't know there were still fires going on now.
Since October, there's one fire in particular that's been going since October that they haven't been able to put out.
Goodness.
Yeah.
They should get a fire pool.
That's 74 days that this Currawan fire, which has burned for 74 days around the town of Shoalhaven, destroying nearly 500,000 hectares and 312 homes. But the rain now has become a problem of its own. About 100,000 homes have been evacuated and left without power. Life-threatening flash floods happening. So pretty much, you know, similar to what we've had here, where we've had deaths in our flash floods.
Yeah.
At least two fires have been put out by it, which is a good thing.
Sure.
There are still 31 fires burning in New South Wales, but none are considered an immediate danger at present. To humans, yeah, but to animals, yes. Definitely.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. That was enough on that story.
Yeah, that's all right. We've got another Australian story, though, don't we?
Do we? Yes, we do.
We do.
It's from Western Australia this
tell
time.
Tell us about Western Australia.
Okay, I know what we think about Australia and the way they impose laws and try to control everything and be a nanny state and big brother.
Right.
But I really agree with what they're doing here.
What are they doing?
They have banned puppy farms and the sale of puppies from pet shops.
Well, it's good, right?
It is good because they're just these illegal breeders who have these puppy mills. If I can tell you, one of our family dogs is from a puppy mill, and she had many litters of puppies, and she was never socialized or loved or treated like a dog should be. And she's got serious mental issues because of it.
So by definition, these puppy farms are just where dogs are treated like factories, just to breed and breed and breed and breed and breed.
Yeah, they just make.
And then they go to pet shops or they sell them online or through newspapers or on the side of the road. And they go to pet shops with these dogs and sell them to the pet shops. So these animals have diseases, they have genetic issues. It's just really horrible. And besides, we've got so many animals in shelters that need to be adopted. No one should ever have to buy an animal unless they're really into buying a thoroughbred animal. If you're not that fussy, which most people aren't.
Yeah, my mom's retarded Jack Russell, and I know we've used that word sparingly, but there's something wrong with that dog. It is he's from a puppy mill. But I mean, he's a lovely dog. There's nothing wrong with him. But I'm telling you that these people don't. I don't know. They don't look after dogs properly.
Leanne, do you think there's a way this could be done ethically?
What could be done ethically?
Breeding and
ethically.
There are good breeders.
Yeah, you've got good breeders. And let me tell you, when a breeder is bad, it can change so many things. You end up with violent dogs in the home that weren't socialized as puppies. So breeders have a huge job in terms of bringing us good stock. But still, it's really on the bottom of my list to buy a thoroughbred dog. You can get so many thoroughbred dogs from local shelters.
Yeah.
But I wish that this would happen here. It would be amazing. So this is part of their commitment to end overbreeding and operations of illegal breeders rather. So
all right.
I hope it comes here.
That's a good move. I also think that we've eventually got to get to a point where like circuses have become no good. You know, people don't like circuses anymore, and I think that's a very good positive development because circuses are just really stupid.
Circuses are fine except for the animals that are used in them.
Yeah.
They can be great acrobatics and trapeze artists and like magic.
And women with beards.
And yes.
Women with beards. Yes, sure. But I mean, you can.
Also on their chins.
You sometimes meet them in Johannesburg if you just go to the right places. You don't have to go to the circus.
Like? Just get yourself in trouble. Mention places.
No, I'm not going. No, exactly. Hell no.
I was absolutely in a lift with someone the other day, a woman who had this very big beard.
Really?
A grey curly beard.
Really?
Yeah.
And wait.
It was a full lift, and we were very close to each other.
Wait, a beard or just a few strands of hair?
I'd say it was the size of
peach fuzz.
No, not peach fuzz. A patch.
Oh. She had a proper beard. Bearded woman.
Yes.
No.
Wow.
Roll up.
We're like on her chin.
No, a beard on her nose.
Sorry.
Yeah. No. Why would I have said beard?
Good point.
On her elbow.
How did you look away?
I don't know. I looked at it for quite a while and then I stopped myself.
There's one of my grandmother's friends who has a bit of a beard, and I swear I can't focus on anything else when she's speaking.
Oh my God.
Yeah, when I was in McGregor, I had a housekeeper, Yvonne, spelled E-V-O-N.
Hello.
Yvonne. And we used to call her Tom Selleck.
Oh, shit.
Because she had a massive moustache. Why had no one told her?
And she was. You think she doesn't know she has a moustache?
I didn't think so, because she kept on saying, "I don't know why I'm still single."
Oh.
And I was so tempted to help her, but you don't know if you're offending someone or not.
Carl wants to know, he says, is the WhatsApp line down today? I can't message you. Or have I been blocked for too many lame jokes? No one's blocked. There is a problem.
Carl.
We're trying to reconnect the phone, but we don't know what's happening with the WhatsApp messages. So sorry about that, Carl. I promise you we're not ignoring you.
Carl is always worried that we're blocking him, I think.
Yeah.
It's not the first time. So here's something, and let's just be aware of the crazies in the world, people. Imagine how frustrated you'd be. You are leaving Canada, you're on your way to Jamaica, presumably on holiday, and in the middle of your flight, some person stands up, gets to the middle of the plane and screams, I have the coronavirus.
Oh my God.
How annoying.
What the hell?
How absolutely annoying. Trust there to be a crazy person who takes advantage of something like this. This guy stood halfway through the four-hour flight carrying 243 passengers, and he opened up his phone. He started taking selfies and recording himself and declared that he had contracted the virus, and which has now infected more than 20,000 people. So flight attendants gave him a mask and gloves, and they ordered him to the back of the plane to isolate himself.
Good.
He thought clearly this was...
Put him at the back of human civilization as well.
And look, I'm not going to hold my breath. Watch this comes out that he was like recording YouTube video and that he wanted to go viral
or
something.
Or he was drunk.
This is just selfish.
This is attention seeking of the worst kind.
I mean, I'm sorry to have this view on Jamaica, but it has been in my heart and soul for a week.
Yes,
you've become very Jamaican.
But you obviously are going on holiday, right? If you're going to Jamaica. Am I presuming wrong? Incorrectly.
I don't know.
So he might have been totally boozed up.
Well, now, if I was going on holiday, you would have lost a day because the flight had to turn around and go back to Canada.
No.
Because all of this had to be dealt with by certain protocol and procedure.
I would be furious.
The health authorities were brought in, police were brought in, and was discovered that the 29-year-old man, he's from Thornhill in Ontario, Canada, he was arrested and he's been charged now with mischief because it turns out... Yeah, because it turns out he doesn't actually have the coronavirus.
And he's 29 years old. He's not a 16-year-old.
No.
Who's like playing the fool.
He knows.
He's a fully grown adult.
He knows that this was irresponsible.
What a poople.
But apart from a guy like this,
he's got to be fined, right?
Yeah.
Big fine.
Apart from it being an inconvenience to your holiday, this would also be very freaky.
No,
imagine you're sitting now for the remainder of the flight. Is he being for real or is he not?
I don't think someone like this is to be taken seriously. But it's annoying because now my whole holiday is ruined by one person who's looking for attention. And if he was filming himself, he should not be allowed on a phone ever again. Put him, in fact, jail the guy because he's inconvenienced probably hundreds of people. And ruined their plans. Now suddenly they have to book new flights. Now suddenly their accommodation is they're paying for an extra day. I would be furious. Douchebag.
Wow.
I hope this doesn't become a trend.
Well, if he needed a blood test, this robot would have helped.
Yeah.
It's a medical robot, brand new, and there's only one of them, which has been created specifically to take blood samples. And actually outperforms human healthcare professionals. And they've held a clinical trial to prove this. So it's a prototype at the moment. It's an automated blood drawing robot. And it could end up saving medical personnel a lot of time trying to find veins. It's not my favorite subject, but...
No, I get a little bit itchy and uncomfortable. I start... Like covering up my...
I have to fold my arms. Yeah.
Why is everyone's looking so squirmish right now?
Well, when you think about needles, you immediately, you just cover yourself up.
Well, if this is as smooth as it is, it might not actually be painful to have blood withdrawn.
No, so the robot will obviously, you won't even see where the needle is, which kind of helps as well. But it always finds the vein and it doesn't hurt you.
Yeah.
Because half of the reason that some people get hurt is because they can't find a vein.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of patients don't have prominent veins any longer, especially if they are receiving chemotherapy.
Yeah, the veins actually get smaller or they're not as obvious.
Yeah.
They're not as clear.
So this is like an ultrasound image guided robot, which finds the vein, punctures it with a needle, and then draws the blood. It also includes a centrifuge based blood analyzer. So that's really amazing. So it had
so it can do the tests
an
straight
overall
away.
Success rate of 87%.
Yeah.
And for the patients whose veins were easy to access, the success rate was 97%. And previous studies have shown that healthcare professionals have a success rate of 73% in patients without visible veins. Visible veins.
Visible veins.
Visible palpable veins, you know.
Leon, your dentures have dropped.
So, yeah, I mean, this could actually be used in future for IV catheterization and dialysis, things like that.
Okay.
Very cool.
Awesome. That is a game changer.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right.
Hugely.
Very good. That's interesting stuff. So you see, there are things happening. There are developments all the time. We're living in a time of innovation and breakthrough.
But still
Greg.
In the time of idiots as well.
Oh, yes, where idiots can get up on a plane and cause untold shit.
Just a reminder, yes.
You know, I don't know. Who's Philip Schofield?
Okay.
This is a.
There's a show in the UK called This Morning.
Okay.
And it's with Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby. Sort
of the platinum blonde hair and
silver fox.
Yeah, yeah, and she's kind of blonde and cute as well. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they make for a very entertaining show, even the YouTube clips, because we obviously don't get the show in the country. YouTube clips.
He's
are
been
really
married for 20 odd years. He's got
27 years.
27 years. He's got two daughters.
Yeah.
His wife is mentioned on the show. Philip and Holly are friends. And he came out as gay this weekend. So I think it was surprising to a lot of people.
Surprise!
Because of the fact that he has...
Wife
and children.
Yeah.
But... excuse me.
Oh, are you also emotional, Leanne?
Yeah. But Holly actually did it in an interview process with him. And it was just really, really sweet. And the whole This Morning family was there. Unfortunately, it includes that horrible Eamon Holmes.
Eamon Holmes is the fat guy who used to be on Sky, right?
Oh, he's annoying.
Okay, but what happened? They got everybody together and then he announced it on the show?
Yeah.
No, like Holly just interviewed Philip. And it was a very heartfelt moment. It was really nice to watch.
Well, this is the tricky thing about...
She's got a wife and kids.
Yeah,
huh?
This is the tricky thing about doing a daily show and being invested in people's lives and having people invested in your life so much. We get that to a certain extent here on the show. There's no way we can come here, sit for 2 hours a day and not be honest. Like, if we're having a bad day,
it's impossible.
We can't make it through 2 hours of going, okay, let's smile and everything is peachy and great.
And also he said, I'm sitting in the chair now where we've interviewed so many people before and they've sat here and they've told us their truths. And the whole time I'm interviewing them, I'm thinking, I have a truth to tell that I haven't told. And I really need to do that. And I really admire this person. And what was nice is that he wasn't forced into it, not like with Nikki Tutorials, who was blackmailed. Yeah. He says, quite honestly, no one forced me into this. The time just came. I've worked it through with my family. We're still going to be a family. My daughters got up afterwards and hugged me, and my wife is very supportive. She's just amazing. So, yeah, he's not in a relationship. He's not pursuing anyone. It was just time, his time.
You see, but as much as it was a beautiful moment, the fact that Holly interviewed him and that's how they announced to the world, I just felt like there were certain questions that I would have liked answered and a friend would feel a little too uncomfortable to ask them.
I don't know. Like, this is all just very complicated because there's a wife and kids.
Yeah, I want to know, is he getting a divorce now? Are they still going to remain together?
Don't tell me everything's like hunky-dory.
Yeah.
And let's all pretend everything's great now that, you know, he's just come out as gay, because there's obviously going to be some fallout here. You know, how does this wife feel?
She's very supportive.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? So good then.
It's a really good
None
story.
None of our business.
There's
then,
actually
suppose.
Nothing to pick at it, to be honest.
So over the weekend, Zozibini Tunzi, Miss Universe, came back into the country.
Yes.
And while she got to OR Tambo, there were many people supporting her and the crowds were cheering. It was a beautiful moment.
Yes.
The SAPS was working in the background.
Because yes,
there were three separate drug smuggling attempts that took place there. There were drugs that were gathered to a total street value of 26 million rands.
I don't think you heard, but we covered this.
You may have missed it, Sia. Are you having a stroke?
I think we covered this.
It happens at 25. He's getting old.
Oh,
forgive
my
him.
God. Finished.
He's 25.
Over for you.
Yeah, he's over the hill.
So did Zozibini?
Never mind.
Nobody checked her though for drugs.
Never mind.
They didn't have to check her. They didn't have to.
But I'll tell you what happened with
Zozibini.
I wanted to say Zozobini.
Aye, boy.
Zozibini. She's been named the ambassador by Cyril Ramaphosa for gender-based violence on the African continent.
I don't want that. Oh, sorry, it's not about me. I don't think that's a nice title from Miss Universe to Ambassador of Violence.
Not Ambassador for Violence.
No, but there's a connotation.
He's not handing her a sword.
He's not saying, here, go out and be violent.
Out to the fields. No.
Sia, did you ever think that perhaps being an ambassador for gender-based violence on the African continent could be a higher title than Miss Universe?
No.
No, okay, Sia thinks Miss Universe is the most important thing anyone could aspire to.
Let me break it down with the mindset that I have.
Uh-huh.
There is a better way to phrase it, I think, to have more of a positive spin to it. So rather be an ambassador to women empowerment, or rather be
that could mean so many things.
But I think that sounds better.
Sounds like in the workplace, you know?
Class.
Ambassador to gender-based
empowering
violence.
Empowering women in the workplace.
All right.
Okay, that's just my opinion. That's all. That's just my opinion.
So it was announced by the Arts and Culture Deputy Minister. And yeah.
Okay, guess
Let's
what?
See what she does with that.
Suddenly we got a flood of messages and now I've got
Wow.
Yeah. Just tons. So
we're back on track.
Sorry, everybody. I haven't been ignoring you. How very dare Sia compare his board scratching to Michael McDonald. Blasphemer. Stop it. You're just horrible. Absolutely right. Stop it, Sia.
I'm the ambassador to board scratching. What can I say? And drug street.
Hey,
violence.
Wasn't it the Oscars last night?
Yes.
Well, a few hours ago, really.
Brad Pitt got one.
Well, he finally got his first Oscar. There was a beautiful Kobe Bryant tribute that was expected. Billie Eilish sang Yesterday by the Beatles, and that's when they did an honor to Billie Eilish. Here are some of the moments, though, that I think you won't really hear of, very obviously. But Shia LaBeouf has starred in this.
Shia LaBeouf. That guy is
a name we haven't heard of in a while, right?
He is such a turd.
Shia LaBeouf. Terrible. Shia LaBeouf. Terrible.
He stuffed up once by being a drug addict. So what?
It's not that. He's a turd. He's a big turd.
Let me correct you. He stuffed up twice, and the second time royally. He reprised the role of Charlie Sheen in Wall Street Money Never Sleeps. Disaster. So he stuffed up twice. Not just the drug thing.
There's more than that. He's been very political, and he's been doing what he considers to be like performance art. And it's just the most ridiculous stuff you've ever seen. In fact, I can't even begin to describe it. You have to go online and just Google Shia LaBeouf performance art. It's so dumb. This guy is just such a douchebag. It is unbelievable. What a thunder cunt he is.
Oh, my God.
Goodness.
Yeah, he racially abused that cop as well.
I think you're mincing your words there.
Okay, maybe I missed out on some headlines.
So what did he get?
So he currently is starring in this movie called The Peanut Butter Falcon. And he
Can you imagine how horrible that movie is?
Wait a minute.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Wait, okay. I'm going to give you a reason for you to be extra annoyed with him. Just let me finish. His co-star is a young gentleman with Down syndrome. And so the two of them went up to present an award. And while his co-star was speaking, it looked like he was laughing at his co-star sort of stammer through the presentation. So people are already hammering Shia for that. People are also hammering Brad Pitt for bringing up the impeachment in his speech.
What did he say?
He said, you know, they, as you say, as you deliver speech, you get a countdown at these award shows. So when he got to 45 seconds, Brad Pitt said, they said I have 45 seconds, which is 45 seconds more than the Senate gave John Bolton this week. I'm thinking maybe Quentin Tarantino does a movie about it. And in the end, the adults do the right thing. The audience in the crowd just like started laughing awkwardly at him. And then people on Twitter were just like, Brad, it's your first time winning an Oscar.
Why you know, do you have
great performance.
I love the way a bunch of people who arrive there in limos are all paid millions of dollars for pretending. That's their real job, is to pretend every day. These people think it's their place to lecture everyone else on politics and morality. It's unbelievable. Shut up, take your award and get the hell out of there.
So speaking of that, I wish I can find this in time. Someone tweeted...
Especially Brad Pitt, and you've been ignored for such a long time.
Someone tweeted Ricky Gervais and said, Ricky, if you were the host of the Oscars, what would one of your opening jokes be? And Ricky responded, alluding to that point you just raised, Gareth, saying he would have said, I can't wait to hear all your inspirational speeches about equality. And it's great that the 3 hours you're here tonight is the only time your badly paid migrant house staff will get some time off to sleep this week.
God, that's
he
brilliant.
Then also, okay. I think he was just taking the piss. He carried on Twitter saying one of the jokes he would have also used was, it's great to see such diversity in this room tonight. Rich sex pests of all shapes and sizes. And then
fantastic.
In conclusion of some things you probably won't hear covered about the Oscars, Leonardo DiCaprio, for the no surprise again, arrived with a girlfriend who's 15 years younger than him. Just another day in the great life.
Compliment for Bulelo. Someone says, that was Nombulelelio's best sport update to date. It comes leaps a long way. I think that must be some kind of a compliment,
like,
for you.
Leaps and bounds?
Yeah. Pretty privilege is a real thing. Just making sure, does Sia know that there was a drug bust at Oratambo?
Sorry, guys. You know, sometimes I take care of business of the show behind the scenes and I can't listen all the time.
Sia, that was painful listening to you singing. You haven't done so in a long time. Why would you do that to such an awesome song? That's from Vinny. Vinny's
so
disgusted.
Are you saying this is not the time for me to sing Shakira now?
Please don't. Leanne, I used to let my male dogs have just one pump, one shtup, and then let the vet emasculate them. I
no,
feel sad for doing
horrible.
It, but it mellows them down a bit.
No, it's good to castrate them, but don't let them have one pump. Imagine you had one pump and then you were never allowed again.
You think they're going to get upset because then they know what they're missing out on?
Yes. Don't let them ever have a pump.
Okay. All right. Great sport report. There we go. There's another compliment for you. That's from Frank. See you, Mbulelo. It's getting better.
Excellent.
You have nothing to say?
Oh, well, I expect to be successful.
All right. Since you guys are throwing around acronyms, try QJJFOPJ. Quam jam jar full of... Oh, God. I'm not doing that. That's stupid. Morning, guys. The economy is still full of money. According to Carte Blanche last night, middle-aged women are being swindled out of 500,000 rand, even 800,000 rand, by scammers on Tinder. How do people have 800,000 rand in their check accounts to be scammed out of? I'm out here struggling to save for my wedding. God damn, that's from Theo. Yeah, how does that happen? People with 500,000 rand in their check account. In positive balance. It's insane. All right, we're going to do what we are getting used to doing on a Monday now, meet the mind. And this morning we meet the mind of Loy Bala, who has been a member of Arcliffe Central family for a long time. He's joined the Henley family because he's doing an MBA. So it is time for episode 6 of Meet the Mind on cliffcentral.com, featuring none other than Loyiso Bala. Henley Business School's Africa Connect alumni platform was launched in November 2019, and the opening event brought together some of the school's most prominent students and graduates. Loyiso Bala has been part of the South African music scene for decades now. The classically trained singer was part of groundbreaking music, won multiple SAMAs, and is regarded as one of South Africa's brightest and most enduring musical talents. We asked him about the importance of being able to think creatively.
Creativity is definitely another kind of intelligence. You know, you've got people who are just analytical. You've got some people who really just kind of know numbers, but they're not necessarily creative. I really kind of believe that, especially like in this time where information is available to everyone, I believe that the one who's going to gain a competitive advantage over another is one who's able to take the same information and work it creatively to gain that advantage.
This is Meet the Mind, the series that gives you insight into some of South Africa's most interesting thinkers, brought to you by Henley Business School. That's right. He's back in the studio. It's nice to see you, man. How are you, Loy?
Man, I haven't been here in a long, long time. Good to be back.
Good to see you.
My first home.
Loyiso Bala. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You were here at the beginning.
Mm.
Now, you are running like this massive network. You're a CEO of a huge network, right?
Yeah, so I'm channel director for TBN.
TBN?
Yeah, TBN, this Trinity Broadcasting
big.
Network.
This is big. This is
Africa,
very, very.
Yeah.
So what does that involve? What's your day-to-day job?
Well, my day-to-day job starts around now, around 8 o'clock until 5.
You have to go
Monday
and sit
to
in the
Friday.
Office. You're
I've
in
got to
meetings.
Sit in the office. But you know, my job is pretty interesting because as the channel director, it is all about, you know, the viewership experience. So yeah. Viewership experience means that everything that you see when you watch TBN, I'm accountable for that, including which is all the content. But then some of the back end stuff include marketing. What else? Oh, no, it's a Monday morning.
I don't know.
At this moment.
I'm not the channel director.
Does this mean that Sunday is your busiest day?
Sunday is a busy day for me because of church, but not because of TBN.
Oh, okay. TBN would keep you
Yeah,
very
so
busy.
Everything gets programmed, you know, gets programmed during the week. By the time Sunday comes, we work like 3 months ahead of time, which is just television and just broadcasting as a whole.
Now, you have done pretty much everything you could do in the South African music world as an artist, as a composer, and now you're doing a whole lot more. You're doing this MBA with Henley Business School.
Yep.
And we're really going to find out how you think this morning, hopefully. You received what is called the Johnny Clegg Scholarship.
Yeah, that's
now,
right.
This is very interesting. How did you decide to get into doing an MBA?
About 5 years ago, I just felt the urge to learn more about business. Really, because I was starting I was being invited on numerous boards. I was sitting on the board of Samra. There was a lot happening, and I was like, you know what? If I don't know what's going on here, and something goes ape, I may get into trouble. Mm. And once you get into court, you can't say, "Oh, I didn't know," because
for
the mere fact that
you're in
there,
jail. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I think first of all, because I didn't want to go to jail. I think that's a good reason.
That's a very good
and
reason.
Second,
with Samra, that's good thinking.
Second of all, it was really just to understand the different facets of a business. What makes a business? What we do as creatives is that we sell ideas to businesses so that they can fund them. Now I can't go and tell them no, but you need to listen to the song. If you hear the song, you will want to get behind this project, or you need to see this play, or whatever it is that I'm doing. So I wanted to make sure that I can communicate with them in their language, in a way that they understand. And the best was to go to school. So I did the postgraduate diploma, which is called the PGDIP, at Henley, with fear and trembling, because I literally sat in there with, you know, like with people who were CEOs and marketing managers, HR managers. I didn't even know what HR was, guys.
Wow.
You know, didn't even know what HR
Don't
was.
Feel
but
bad.
I got to learn.
None
I got to learn
do.
About it over there, and by the end, actually, I finished. I passed with the distinction, which is awesome because I'm creative. I make up everything that I write.
I didn't bring you here to boast, but
no.
Okay.
But I'm telling.
You must.
But I'm telling you the reason. So when I got that, this is the reason why I was telling you. Okay, I was like, yeah, maybe I can do the MBA. Mm. So I applied for the scholarship. And I got the scholarship. Suddenly it was like, oh, crap. Now I have to do this
MBA.
Yeah. And here I am 2 months away from finishing. I'm just finishing up my dissertation at the moment. I'm on chapter 4.
How much work is it, like,
yeah,
time-wise?
Yeah, I wanted to say that.
Listen, it's a lot of work. But at your matured adult life, you know? point in your life where I am right now, especially when there's family and there's work, it's all going to be about time management. But Henley is it's a family friendly institution, you know, because usually they call the MBA, oh, the divorce course. I've had two kids while I've been doing the MBA.
How's Jen?
She's great. No, she's awesome. And yeah, we're married 8 years now.
Congratulations. So,
thank
that's
you.
Much bigger than an MBA.
But I want to finish. I think I've learned what I needed to learn. I need to just finish up what I'm doing right now and then move on with my life. But I don't think studying will ever actually, I don't think it's a thing that stops. Already I'm like, now I'm kind of seeing gaps there and there. So maybe I should probably do like another finance course or another
It's lit a bit of a fire in you.
Yeah, so that happened. And I think maybe because it came from me having done the PG Dip.
Well, I think all of this builds into where you're at in life because you are running the TBN channels. You're busy. You know, you're a busy man with your own career, which is still going on. I mean, it's not like you've given up on music.
No. It's still going on. I'm singing last week, I'm singing this week.
Yeah, and you're still doing plenty of performances, and you've got the family, but you can do it all. Like, a lot of people think you can only do one thing properly in your life, and I think that's a sad way of looking at things.
You know what? I think, you know, some people look at their lives is just like one thing. Mm. Like, I want to get to a point where I can just chill and relax, and that's what I'm working towards. Some others look at it as in two phases. I work and I play. But me, I look at my life in terms of seasons. So I believe that this is the season for me to study and to serve. You know, so to serve where I can, not to try and get in the high end terms of my career. And then after the season is over, I believe that then it's going to be a time to build from what I've learned. So once I do that, I believe that, like, you know, once I put that out, once I pray about that, that if it is that season, that I'll have everything that I need in order to fulfill that's purpose for that time. So if there's a bit of struggling, like this morning I woke up at 4 a.m. because I needed to just fix some stuff on chapter 3 so that I could carry on.
Sure.
But it's just for a season, so it's bearable. And I think it's important that, you know, one communicates that and says, listen, for this time, I'm going to wake up at this time, and when I come back home, I'll need 2 hours.
And everybody's understanding.
Yeah.
Because you've got work colleagues at TBN, you've got, you know, your wife and kids who have to understand that you're busy with this thing, and then you've got Henley as well, who probably have to make a few exceptions now and then because you're traveling the world or because you're running your own business.
That's right.
A lot of the MBA students are. They don't just take a break from life to do this.
No,
this
we're
degree.
Not. You know, we're not 21. I mean. Yeah. Even Sia's older than 21.
Yeah, the bones are creaking.
Sia had an old man moment just now.
You came in saying you feel old. Now, what is this all about? Don't say things like that.
No. We were just joking. We were just joking outside the studio. I was saying, you know, some people will say, wow, you look exactly the same. One of the guys, he actually said, you know, like, then the last time we saw you, which was probably like, 4 years ago. And I said, yeah, I may look good on the outside, but on the inside.
That's terrible. And do you think you're improving, though?
No, definitely. My mind is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, I've seen people who are like 85 years old. They're like, I mean, I look at my butt and I'm just like, but this is not me.
Yeah.
You know, I still feel 21. We hear that all the time, right?
Yeah. Now you start living it.
Yeah. I like growing up. You know what? I do not want my 20s back because I was just confused. I was just all over the place. I was just chasing. Mm-hmm. Chasing Shadows.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Chasing Shadows sounds like a song, you know?
No, you're
right.
I'm good.
No, I'm good.
It is a maintenance job, though. I mean, like, you have to keep your mind sharp. You have to keep your body in shape. You have to keep working at a number of things all at the same time, you know, as you get older. And you do. You're spinning a lot of plates at the moment. Is TBN's the biggest Christian television service in the world?
Yeah. And we're also the biggest in Africa. So we look after Africa.
Yeah.
And then...
So who's on there? Give me some names. Who's on TBN?
So on TBN, you have your big guns, like your TD Jakes, Joel Osteen, Joseph Prince. A lot of local guys as well. They actually make up more than others. So you've got Musa Sono, you've got Chris Matebula, you've got Pastor Ray Makoli. Check how I name everybody by their names. Then comes to Pastor Ray. I'm like, Pastor Ray Makoli.
That These people command enormous influence in society.
They do.
And if you're the channel through which they communicate with so many people, it's really, this is for some people, this is their connection to not just their pastors and to their church, but to very often to the Word of God and to prayer and to being part of a community. I mean, this is a very big deal.
So here's the thing. I think it's a huge thing that I'm accountable for, because I can imagine myself, you know. Well, here's the thing, right? So I watch all the pilots that come in, and it doesn't matter whether you're a big mega church pastor or whether you're a small church pastor who wants to be on TBN. I've got to listen and say, okay, cool. Is this sound? Is this, you know, like, is this the truth? And
huge
then make the decision from there. So I'm going to stand in front of God one day, and I hope it doesn't say, why did you put that guy on?
God's going to say, why did you put that charlatan on when you could have had this decent guy?
You know what I mean?
And
so
suddenly you're going to be, your ass is going to be kissed by the flames of hell, Mr. Luis Obala.
So it doesn't mean, you know, like, it doesn't mean just because that, you know, like, you command a lot of respect, you've got a big church and so on, that you're definitely going to make it on because you've got the money. Because at the end of the day, we need to make sure that what we're bringing out, it's pure, it's unadulterated, and that your lifestyle is, you know, like, is good. And it's a hard thing these days.
And
you know,
people expect you, because this is something that happens only in businesses where you are involved in, let's say, the production and the broadcast of religious shows. People expect you to somehow be a moral exemplar too, which seems unfair because nobody asks that of an investment banker.
Yeah.
But you're expected to almost lead by example here, because otherwise who are you to judge, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's
it. So you have to keep your life tidy as well, almost like a politician would, but none of them ever do.
But I think everybody should try and keep their lives tidy.
yeah, but explain what that means, because, I mean, A lot of pastors and a lot of leaders in the church and in politics and in government and in society, a lot of these people are not always good at keeping their lives tidy.
True.
But you've managed
because
to do
that. Because they're
also human. Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I would have gotten into anything that I felt I needed to compromise myself in.
How do you know? Do you just get a feeling that this is not for me?
I'm just like, you know, this is right. You know, when I came to Cliff Central, I was like, this is cool. It feels good, and I don't have to compromise myself.
Instead of makes you feel like that you're giving something up.
Yeah. So I think, you know what? I was speaking to a guy yesterday, and I was like, you know, also when I say don't compromise yourself, it doesn't mean be hard on people, you know? I believe that, you know, adapt to situations, but don't necessarily compromise.
Yeah,
I don't know if that sort of makes sense.
I think
any,
some people also tend to think that if they are doing what they believe is right and they're living a life that's good and not hurting people, that somehow it is incumbent on them to judge everyone else, which is obviously not true either.
Look, I think every one of us has got some skeleton that we're trying to add some flesh to.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And nobody, I think once you start getting the understanding that nobody's perfect, you know, you cannot judge. And the Bible says that in the same way that you judge, you also will be judged. So I don't want to, you know, like, I don't have a right to judge anyone, because I also don't know the context that they're doing whatever it is that they've done, you know? If someone comes in and shoots someone, yeah, of course you can judge them, because that's just pure murder.
Yeah.
That doesn't need Christianity. Those are just universal laws. You just don't murder.
You judge someone by their behavior, and we all know good Christians, we all know good Muslims, we all know good Jews, we all know good Buddhists and atheists, but we also equally know bad ones in all those categories.
No, absolutely. And I've got some good friends that I even forget at times that they are Muslim, because it's not the thing. Mm-hmm. We are just, you know, like, we are people, have something
friends
in common
first.
And we're friends and we just love each other.
So Lloyd, just tell me about TBN in Africa. Where are your biggest markets, and where are they growing, and where are they making massive headway? I mean, I'm
so
just curious about how it works.
So TBN, TBN Africa is all over. It's all over Africa. We're in over 50 countries. So all the Pan African, regions. It's it's a bit hard, and I'm gonna be totally honest, because a lot of people will give you like a number and say, oh, we are in so many homes around the world. Listen, when it comes to capturing data, especially when you're speaking about linear television, it's not an easy thing, and you should be a little bit skeptical when someone starts to give you
millions.
Numbers and sure. millions and like, you know what I mean. It happens all the time, but we know that through online only through the World Wide Web are we able to get the right statistics, because in a lot of the times it's like in real time, like you know who's listening right. now, you know.
Yeah.
If well,
we can measure
now
it down
that it's
to
going
the person,
live, yeah. So I can tell you what our biggest regions are. It's South Africa, it's Ghana.
Mm-hmm. Well, it obviously would be the English
and
countries, English speaking countries first, because Francophone
and
Africa,
Nigeria.
You know, that wouldn't count so much.
Yeah.
So you said South Africa, Ghana, Nigeria.
Yeah, South Africa, Ghana, Nigeria, and Kenya.
Hmm.
And Kenya.
That's very powerful.
Per capita, I'd probably say. In terms of the percentage, I'd probably say Kenya has got the biggest percentage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
So that's what it is. Have you been to Ghana?
No, I haven't. I want to go. You must have done a bit of traveling.
I've heard from so many people that it's just amazing.
Yeah.
And that the people are just incredible.
Well, my wife is from Ghana, so. Yeah.
Biased.
Someone is. Biased.
but it's crazy as well, like just like, you know, how big Christianity is there, you know? Yeah. Like every single shop has got, have you seen that? Like every single shop has got like a Christian name, like,
no,
you know?
Ghana's
Clap for Jesus Motos, you know? if you don't have like a Christian connotation name, you're not gonna, your business
Amen.
Won't be successful
Amen
at
pharmacy.
All. You know, Shekinah Glory Supermarket. It's awesome. I was like, wow, we've got a market here, man. You know,
makes
and every
sense.
Single church is called something international. You know.
Even if Ebenezer
International. Even if it's just a small little church in the shack, you know.
International.
Yeah.
Yes, I love the names of these churches. You must get so many interesting like proposals from people. I am from the Church of the Blue Doves of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Apostles.
International.
On the corner of Rivonia and 10.
Like, wow. No, it happens all the time.
And do you ever get those pastors who make people drink petrol and eat the grass? You get those guys trying to submit stuff
to
you?
So you know what? I think just like, you know, if you do a lot of research, after a while you just start seeing like certain themes emerge. That's what I'm learning now. Now that I'm doing research. Like, you can start seeing, okay, cool. This one fits into this box. This one fits into this box. So after like a year and a half of sort of checking the guys out.
You can spot
before the guy
lunatics.
Even does the miracle, you know, already can just say, nah, the way this guy's even present, the way he's talking, it's like, what's up with that little bit of a, like, that American accent is a bit dodge.
Somehow you have
you know
a twang,
I mean?
And
it's
you've
like
never
it's like if Tebow Touch became a pastor.
And then when you hear something about them later, you're like, I knew it, you know, but you can't say that. You've got to just, you know, you've got to see it for what it is in the beginning. So,
and you are in between all of this, you are still singing, right?
Yes.
Okay. So like yes, when are you
that's
doing
my extra, that's my real cash.
Yeah. That's in fact probably where you make the money still, because this corporate thing is not what it's.
Yeah.
Up
you
be.
Know what I mean? I mean, to work, you know, usually I'm on stage for 45 minutes and boom. Tens of thousands, you know what I mean? Now for tens of thousands, I've got to
invoice
work 30
and call
days.
It a day.
Yeah.
So what kind of performances are you still doing?
So I'm still performing with Swing City.
Okay.
Still performing with Danny Kay and Lloyd. We've got a group called Supreme 3.
Yes. I've seen you perform in both of those outfits.
Yeah. So, and then I still do my own corporate stuff. I still MC, do some MCing.
Yeah.
And so it's
out.
All the different genres.
Brad Pack with a big band.
Yeah, there's a Brad Pack with a big band as well, which I'll be doing at in Monte Cassino. I think it's the 29th. Yeah.
Sure. That's
27th of March.
Yeah, 27th of March, and that's
thank
like
God
you know Arnold Costens.
Yes. Right. Teatro and Monte Cassino.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
one.
That one.
And Loy, with your MBA, you mentioned all the research you've been doing, but have you managed to tailor some of your research into stuff that you're already doing?
Yes. So my thesis is the impact of digital disruption on the business models, don't get thrown by that, of the broadcast television industry. So it's all about you know, and the aim is to build a framework that can be used in order to update those business models. You know, for instance, right. it's in the business models that where the disruption is a lot of the times. It's not so much in the technology. Like, for instance, you know, Samsung and Apple. Apple mm-hmm. wins not because of the technology, because Samsung has probably got better technology,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they probably do.
But because of the business model. It's the
brand, which they have.
Yeah, exactly. And also the iTunes and all that stuff, that does much better. So it's how you integrate the business model and not so much the hardware. So it's about creating a framework for that.
It's fantastic. Wow. You met some interesting people doing this MBA?
I have. No, I have, absolutely. I mean, my friend Sarita's listening right now. You know, she's been really great. We've been sort of like study partners, and for the past 4 years, she's a financial manager.
Sure,
she's Hindu.
Okay,
you know,
she's helping the Christian network.
And
yeah.
And so, like, you know, she's quite an analytical thinker. I'm a creative thinker.
Yeah.
So it's been really good because I think I've begun to see my purpose in the business society and what it is that I can bring. Mm-hmm. And I've come to realize that people lack creativity, man.
Yeah, but you also can't teach creativity.
No, you can't. Thank God you can't. Because then I'm like, hey, I'm here.
All right.
You know what I mean?
but there are ways to raise children to be more creative, and there are ways that adults can be taught to think more creatively.
True. I heard you guys speaking earlier on, and you're speaking about, you know, the internet, the fact that you can get anything that you want, you know, about, I think we're speaking about like what creativity is. Now, and now there's more of a need for creativity now than ever before, because if you've got access, I'm just make an example. So if Sia's got access, if I give Sia 5 marbles, different colors, right?
Yep.
And I give you the same marbles with different colors, and then I say to the two of you, now arrange these in a way that you're going to have competitive advantage, Sia, over Gareth. Creativity is going to determine that, not what you have, because both of you have the same tools. So with all this information that we have today, you need creatives in order to arrange those so that you can gain competitive advantage
and
for others.
And what you're saying is so interesting, because a lot of people think that it's all about accounting and finance.
True.
That's not. Often that's not creative. You don't want too much creativity in the finances, because otherwise things get a bit shady.
And no, you've also got to put like a limit on your creativity, because like a lot of creatives have lost all their marbles.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think because creatives somehow think, this is my thing, right? So I think most times creatives think that, okay, cool, no, my job is to create something. Listen, everything that we do is from some things, from something before. There's a certain reference. We may not know, it may be in our subconscious, but it's reference to something. Do you know what I mean? So we don't actually create. Mm. I believe there's one creator, you know? But what we do is that we arrange creatively.
All right.
Mm. Come on, somebody.
I'm looking forward to this. So you got 2 months to go.
I've got 2 months to go. I've got a hand in, and I'm going to say it now because once I've said it, and then
it's
I'm
real.
Accountable to do it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
7th of April, I have to hand in my dissertation. So I'm literally like, I'm rushing through my interviews, and I know that I should have been further along the way. So, and thanks to everyone else, you know, out there who's been willing to come and speak to me, CEOs from different companies and different broadcasting companies as well have just come on.
Well done. This is really cool.
And I spoke to Tebe Galifeng yesterday, which was awesome.
He's a smart guy.
He's a very smart guy.
No, I like Tim. Yeah. He's very, very sharp. Okay, well, Loy, it's nice to see you, and it's always good to have you here in our studios. And I wondered where you'd been, because you've been very scarce, but it sounds like you've got a full plate. Mm. You don't have a lot of time. I'm willing to sacrifice not seeing you so often, but once your dissertation's done, come and visit us again.
I'm going to come so clever. Yeah. Like, is this the same guy?
Thank you, my man.
Thanks.
Well, the Henley Business School is unlike many other business schools. They don't offer a linear experience that force-feeds theory to you. They offer a holistic learning system. By blending theory with practice, that means that you can look forward to a business education that provides you with insightful business acumen, the ability to both master yourself and lead and manage others, and exceptionally relevant and practical theory that is tried and trusted in practice in your own workplace. There are 15 international campuses and offices, 8,000 students across the globe, 18 countries represented by faculty and 78,000 alumni in their network. The Henley MBA is the only business school accredited in South Africa, as your MBA is from a leading, respected, internationally triple accredited business school. You get recognized wherever you are in the world, ensuring your global future. And it was a privilege today to spend some time meeting the mind of Lois Obala, who we've met many times before, but it's nice to see he's also this academic who's soon going to have an international MBA. So yeah, just wait, he's coming to come and hire you. He's coming to create jobs in other parts of the economy in South Africa, and there's plenty of good things headed your way. So thank you, Loy.
Thank you.
Very nice. Meet the Mind, brought to you by Henley Business School, only on cliffcentral.com. Cryptocurrency is a new and exciting chapter in the history of money, and it's pretty easy to get caught up in the hype. But like any investment, it's important to know what you're getting into. We've come to Luno HQ in Cape Town, where Luno Africa's GM, Marius Reitz, has some best practice tips, whether you're new to Bitcoin or an experienced trader.
Firstly, if you're new to cryptocurrency, welcome. From uncertainty to the underlying technology to ensuring you don't lose money to scammers, etc., I recommend you to take your time with Bitcoin and read up. There's a wealth of resources available online, but the best advice we can give you really is to do your own research and use your own judgment at the end. So if you're planning to invest in cryptocurrency, there are a couple of important things you should be aware of. Firstly, the price can change in moments, and it is guaranteed to go down also. This is normal and is something that you should be aware of before making your first purchase. And we recommend you to start small by buying 10 or 20 rands worth of cryptocurrency on Luno first, and then sort of learn that way and learn slowly. Also important is don't spend more than you can afford to lose, and have a clear plan. Don't let emotions get to you. Probably one of the best ways for you to bypass emotions is to follow an approach called dollar cost averaging. Basically what it does is it helps you to protect against price fluctuations, and that is by buying fixed amounts of Bitcoin on a regular schedule regardless of the price. That takes away the fear and emotions out of investing because you're focused on a long-term strategy. Gains won't be guaranteed still, but the whole idea here is to take the emotions out of investing and to have a long-term view. And then I think just to close, no investment strategy is foolproof. I recommend people to start small, buy the cryptocurrency on Luno, and first learn to trust the platform, first figure out how to deposit funds, how to do your first transaction, and learn more about the risks before you decide to commit more funds. Very importantly, investment starts with education. So if you decide to take the first step and buy your first cryptocurrency, whether that's one Bitcoin or whether that's a fraction of a Bitcoin, you can do that in two ways on Luno. So firstly, you deposit rands into your Luno wallet. We will then allocate that rands to your Luno wallet, and then you'll be able to buy Bitcoin on Luno in one of two ways. So the first option is Luno's instant buy option, which is the easy option. You say you have 100 rands, I want to buy Bitcoin, we quote you, and the transaction is complete. And the second option is for the more advanced and probably more tech-savvy traders, and that is the Luno Exchange, where you can see the full order book, all the bids and all the ask orders on the exchange. So that is people wanting to buy and people wanting to sell at very specific prices. On the exchange, you can then place your orders. So if you don't want to buy Bitcoin at, let's say, 120,000 Rand, you want to buy Bitcoin at 110,000 Rand because you expect the price to drop over the next week or over the next month, you can place your order on the exchange. And when someone is willing to sell Bitcoin to you at 110,000 Rand, then your trade will be executed. So the downside there is there's a time delay, so your transaction or your trade won't be executed immediately. But the upside is that you will buy Bitcoin at your preferred rate. Similar on the sell side, if you want to sell Bitcoin or if you anticipate the price to increase over the short run, you can place your sell order on the exchange at 120,000 Rand, for example, even though the market price is 100,000 Rand, for example. And when the price increases and someone's willing to buy at your price, then your order will be executed. There are also more advanced graphs. So there's a candlestick graph. Stock traders will be familiar with that. There's a line graph. Then there's also a volume graph. So that graph, you can see the amount of Bitcoin that's available on the buy and on the sell side on the Luno Exchange. Also worth noting is that we have a different fee structure on the Luno Exchange. So if you're a market maker, so if you place your order on the exchange to buy or sell at a specific price and you're willing to wait for someone else to trade against you, then you will incur 0% fee. If you're a market taker, so if you trade on the exchange and you see someone is willing to buy or sell at a specific price and you say, okay, let me take that price, I'm not willing to wait, then you pay a fee that varies between 0.5% and 1%. So trading on the Luno Exchange gives you more options, more freedom. You can buy or sell at your preferred rate, and you also have more options on the pricing perspective. We've also recently implemented trading view graphs where you can see long-term trends. You can draw trend lines. You can work out monthly averages and average lines and etc. So the exchange is more suited to traders and to people wanting to have more options when buying and selling.
Decrypto is everything you need to know about buying, trading, and spending cryptocurrency. Brought to you by Luno. Only on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.